Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. The great musician and jazz legend Dave Brubeck is coming back to Baltimore to play with our symphony, the Morgan Chorus, and Baltimore's Choral Arts Society. This hour, Dave Brubeck and Choral Arts Director Tom Hall join us. Dave Brubeck, who helped define our modern jazz with his famous album Take Five, is now 85 and still going strong. He's composing jazz and great spiritual, orchestral, and choral works. His work now is the work that transcends black and white and is the spiritual soul of our American character. We talk with him about his work, his life, his music, and the spirit that moves him. Join me with your voice as we talk with Tom Hall and Dave Brubeck after this NPR news break. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome this hour. It's our pleasure this hour. It seems like it is a yearly event here on the Steiner Show that I dearly look forward to, and that's the arrival of Dave Brubeck to the community here in Baltimore. He was introduced to us, I guess it was 5 years ago now or more, by Tom Hall, who's director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. They've become great collaborators and friends. Tom Hall joins me in studio as director of the Choral Arts Society and the man who I consider one of our country's great musicians and composers one of the men who made jazz open to the world is Dave Brubeck, who joins us by phone. He'll be here tomorrow. Dave Brubeck, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Great to hear your voice.
Good to see you, Mark. Hey, Dave, how you doing, man? It's Tom.
Good, Tom.
And it's not just your birthday yet. Your birthday is on December 6th. Is that right, Dave?
That's right.
85.
85, yeah.
That's great. I wish we could be here. We'll celebrate here for you.
Okay.
That's it. We'll sing a song for you, Dave, I promise.
It's on my calendar. I'm taking out all your CDs. We're going to play them and just hang out and celebrate your birthday.
Well, you're celebrating it in style. You'll be in London with the London Symphony and many of your kids and the Brubeck Quartet.
Four of my sons will be playing with me and my regular quartet also. And, of course, 100 musicians from the London Symphony and Russell Gloyd will be conducting.
Just amazing.
And I bet the London Symphony knows how to play Happy Birthday, too. I bet it's in their rep, man.
I'll bet.
So, gentlemen, tell me what's taking place in Baltimore. What brings Dave Brubeck back to the community here and what we're doing in Baltimore. I'll let you start, Tom, then we'll go to Dave Brubeck.
Well, we're just really thrilled. As you said, Mark, we've had the honor of collaborating with Dave so many times. Dave and I met each other about 11 years ago in New York at Town Hall. We ended up on the same bill at a concert that a friend of ours was producing for his chorus up there and got to know each other. And then it was at that time that Dave told me about his choral music composing, which I'll confess I didn't know up to that moment. I sure do. And so we've done many of Dave's larger choral orchestral works. And this time, this Sunday at 3 o'clock at Morgan, we're going to be doing the Mass to Hope, a Celebration. This is a setting of the Roman Rite of the Catholic Mass that Dave did. I guess you wrote this in about 79 or so. Is that right, Dave? Am I remembering that correctly?
Well, that's pretty close, I think. Yeah, let's call it that.
Yeah, and this is a piece for jazz quartet, the Dave Brubeck Quartet, the Baltimore Choral Arts Society Chorus and Orchestra, and we'll be joined by the Morgan State Chorus. There's a part in this Mass for a congregation. There's a congregation, singing congregation part. So the Morgan Choir is going to do that part. We're going to do the SATB choral part. Then our orchestra will be playing the orchestra, and then the Brubeck Quartet in this piece, as in many of Dave's big choral pieces, the quartet breaks out and does these wonderful improvs throughout the piece. And we'll also be joined by Russell Gloyd. He'll actually be conducting this work on the program. Russell is Dave's longtime collaborator and our very good friend.
He'll be conducting the symphony members, Baltimore Symphony members?
Well, it's the Choral Arts Society Orchestra, many of whom are members of the symphony of the time. However, for this particular event, because the symphony is still in Europe on tour, we have many new players. And I should mention, we also were very happy that we'll have three members of the Louisiana Philharmonic playing with us. I have guest conducted the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra down in New Orleans. And of course, that orchestra is just dispersed all over the country. And so the Baltimore Choral Arts Society, along with many, many other musical organizations around the country, are getting together and trying to offer work to as many players as we can. So we put out a sort of all points bulletin to everybody in the LPO to say, if you're free this weekend, we'd love to have you come play with Dave. And Dave, you were in New Orleans a year or two ago playing the Mass, I think, with the Louisiana Philharmonic.
Yeah, that's right. And we also played a jazz concert at the New Orleans Festival.
Right, a jazz fest. So we'll have three members of LPO playing in our orchestra, and our soprano soloist also comes from New Orleans. She has recently,
I saw that. Yeah.
Amy Frimmer, she's just terrific. And recently she and her husband, for some reason, their home had electricity and gas and stuff right after Katrina hit. So they were wired, and they were able to set up a huge, what amounted to a soup kitchen. They served about 3,000 meals a day for almost a month out of the kitchen of their house. So that's what Amy's been doing the last few weeks.
Just an aside here, one of the lovely things and interesting things about the New Orleans Symphony, the Louisiana Symphony, is it's actually owned and run by the orchestra members themselves. When it went belly up, they took it over themselves, which is kind of a really interesting story in itself, that they're trying desperately to get back together to not lose the symphony they've created.
Right. So we'll have a few of the players here. They're, as I said, they're dispersed all over the place, but we had three that were available and could come. And so that's great. And then in the first half of the program, I should say that Dave and the Quartet will play a set, the Morgan Choir will sing a set, and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society Chorus is going to sing a set. So a little bit of something for everybody. It's going to be a fun show.
We're talking this hour with Dave Brubeck, and of course you just heard Tom Hall. Dave Brubeck will be in town tomorrow night to play at the Meyerhoff?
Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Morgan State.
Morgan State University, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And he'll be here this weekend, and we're looking forward to having Dave Brubeck back with us. He joins us by phone this hour. And we already had three or four emails come in. We'll also go to the phones here in a second. One of the things, Dave, I wanted to ask you here before we read the emails is that I was just really thinking about the work you've been doing in the last 20 years. And everybody, of course, knows Dave Brubeck from Take Five. If anybody says Take Five, Dave Brubeck is on people's lips in America because it's just, it's become part of the American musical tradition. But your music has been driven, it seems, at least lately, from a very deep, something deeply spiritual inside of you, from a different kind of place. Maybe it's not different than it was when Take Five. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just, there seems to be something that's happened with Dave Brubeck that moving into this world of choral music, orchestral music, and something that is deeply spiritual. Could you talk about that a minute?
Well, to me, all music is spiritual and derives from the same place. Even going back to before you're born, you hear your heartbeat. And the last thing you hear on earth is your heartbeat as it stops. And so you've got rhythm going all your life, whether you're aware of it or not. And I think that unifies man in the world, is this rhythm, which is common to us all. This is one thing that's really common to man, is rhythm. And the different ways that this heartbeat has been used. I've written symphonic pieces where the heartbeat is going on all through the piece and hardly noticeable to the audience, but certainly is there. And I feel that the unity of the world can come from music. And I've toured the world, and when I'm in a country that doesn't understand harmony, complex harmony of Europe and United States and some other countries, they always respond to the rhythm. And if I'm not reaching the audience, I have my drummer take a long drum solo.
Yeah.
And that's happened When we did that in India, that was in 1958, the Indian musicians said this is the first Western drummer that they've ever heard that could compete with their drummers. And we all became friends. And that was the time of Ravi Shankar before he came here, mm-hmm. and his father. And we improvised with the Indian musicians, and they're tremendous. And they have a great feeling for jazz because Indian music has a small group, like a small jazz group, mm-hmm. and they improvise constantly. The drummers are not allowed to improvise until they've studied 12 years. And then all of a sudden, they're given their freedom by their teacher. And it's amazing the discipline that goes into the complex rhythms of India and Africa.
That's fascinating. I think that's part of the beauty of what music does. I mean, the two notions of harmony and the harmony that it creates, and that's the stories we love to hear from you, Dave Rubé, because I mean, it sets a tone about the soul of music and the stuff you've been able to do.
And Dave, is it true that your heart actually beats in 5/4? Is that true?
It used to.
we're going to take a very short break. We'll come right back and hear Dave Brubeck, some more from Dave Brubeck and Tom Hall. And we're going to take a minute before we go to break here to hear a bit of some of the choral music that was written and inspired by Dave Brubeck. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're talking this hour once again with one of our living legends and just a wonderful human being, Dave Brubeck, who is coming to Baltimore this weekend to play at Morgan State University with their choir, but also with the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and their orchestra. And, of course, that means Tom Hall. It doesn't mean that, but he happens to be here as well, Tom Hall, the music, the director of the Baltimore Choral Arts
and
Society.
And I should tell our listeners, Mark, to not bother the poor folks over at Morgan. I feel bad because
tickets, you mean?
If you want tickets, call the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Don't call them Morgan State.
Well, get the number out, and we'll do it at the end of the hour again.
It's 410-523-7070. And I don't want my good friends at Morgan to be inundated with phone calls because we have the tickets at the Baltimore Choral Arts Society office. So 410-523-7070, and there are tickets available. We'd love to have you join us. It'll be, as Mark said, the Baltimore Choral Arts Society Chorus, the Morgan State Chorus, our chorus and orchestra, and the Dave Brubeck Quartet.
And Dave, do you remember you were in the middle of a thought when we went to break?
Did I have what?
You said, I said you're in the middle of a thought, I think, when we went to break.
A thought.
That's all right. I have another one for you.
Okay. You
know, there's a question I've always wanted to ask you, Dave, but I've never had a chance to do this. But when do you remember when Paul Desmond first came in for the first rehearsal with this new tune, Take Five, when he showed it to you guys? It was one of the things that I have great respect for you on many, many levels, but one of the things that really is a wonderful characteristic of you as a person and you as an artist is that you play Take Five at every concert that you give because you know that, you know, your fans love to hear Take Five and they love to hear you play it live. And I just think that's awfully great. There are a lot of people who say, well, you know, I don't do that anymore. And, you know, that record came out 55 years ago. I'm not going to do that anymore. But you've never been like that. But I'm interested. Do you remember at all that, you know, when Desmond came in and said, here's this new tune, what do you think of it? And do you remember the circumstances by which you first heard Take Five?
The first thing Paul said, I can't write a tune in 5/4 time. That's the first thing he said at rehearsal, because I gave him that assignment to take Joe Morello's 5/4 rhythm and put a melody to it, and he said he couldn't do it. And I said, well, I heard you do it backstage. Too bad you didn't write down some of those improvisations. And he said, well, I've written down a couple themes. And I said, let me see them. So he showed them to me, and I said, you know, we can make a tune out of these. And so rather than say, well, too bad, let's forget this, I said to Paul, look, you know, this is going to make a great tune. And so that's how it was born. It was my idea from the beginning, and I put form to just the ideas of the quartet. You know, when you have a quartet with all masters like we're in my quartet, when you go to rehearsal, there's a lot of discussion amongst the musicians about how a tune should go, or you put it together as a group. And so I gave it the title, I gave it the form, I gave it the words, I gave it a lot. And I put Paul Desmond's name on it.
Yeah, you sure did, because I've never seen you get a composition credit for that. That's interesting. Yeah.
We keep playing it. As I was telling Tom on my when I leave here today, I'm going to be heading down to North Carolina to do some interviews, and one of the CDs that will be in the car as we drive will be Take Five. You got to have it with you.
That's right. Don't go. You don't know, leave home without it.
This tune is still being played worldwide, probably more than any other jazz tune. Did you know that?
Oh, absolutely. And that record, Time Out, still sells. I mean, Time Out came out in 1951. And
was that when it came out?
And it still sells thousands of copies a year, does it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
But you answered the question of Jonathan in Baltimore. I'll read his email anyway, since he bothered to write in. His question was just what you answered. He said, Take Five and the theme from Mission Impossible were probably the most recognized songs written in the 5/4 time signature. I wanted to ask Mr. Brubeck about the inception of the song. Did he want to write a jazz tune in an alternative time, or did the melody just happen to be in 5/4?
So I wonder where they got that idea.
Yeah, right, from Mission Impossible.
I wonder what sparked that.
We'll never know, I bet, huh?
And here's another question from Fraser. He said, please ask Dave Brubeck about his concerts in Baltimore during the Civil Rights era and his friendship with Chester Wickwire.
Right.
Also, what were his impressions in Baltimore of Baltimore in those days? Any stories he might have about those visits when he came here during the time of segregation? And why was he so interested in the issue? Dave?
Well, the last time I did the show, someone called and said that my concert in Baltimore was the first integrated audience concert.
It was.
It was.
That's
in,
right.
At the Armory on Preston Street.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, that's was a surprise to me. But I did that in most cities and universities all over the country. If they wouldn't integrate the halls, I wouldn't play. And I remember one night they finally agreed to allow African Americans to come to the concert, but they had them to make them sit in a balcony. And I wouldn't start the concert until they came down and occupied seats right on the ground floor. And we did that. We lost many concerts because it was just, in those days, schools were afraid that they would lose their state support if they integrated. And so we just would cancel. And the students wanted us, and the teachers wanted us, and the president of the college wanted us. But there was that law. So finally one governor said, because I wouldn't go on stage, they wouldn't allow my bass player, who was African-American, to go on stage with me. So I wouldn't go on. Finally, the president of the college called the governor and said, what will we do? He won't go on, and the kids are about to riot. He said, put him on. We don't want another Little Rock.
Yeah. And people don't realize that, you know, you were putting your money where your mouth was a long time ago. I mean, I remember you told me once that you refused to play on a television show because you found out the producers were going to edit out all of the shots that included the black members of the quartet. You wouldn't stay in hotels that wouldn't allow the black members of your band to stay in them. You turned down a lot of dates because, you know, you really, you made a real stand, and this was before making a stand on this issue was really fashionable, you know. And isn't it something that you're coming to play with us at Morgan State? The last time you were at Morgan State with us a couple of years ago, we actually had an exhibit of Dave's involvement in the civil rights movement with photographs and documents from the Brubeck Institute in California. That was a wonderful exhibit. We're not able to remount that exhibit for this particular thing, but here we are in the week that Rosa Parks passed away. We will dedicate our concert to Rosa Parks.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, and we'll be at Morgan, you know, playing a concert that 50 years ago was unheard of in Baltimore. And Chet Wickwire, our dear friend from Baltimore.
You going to be there?
I don't know if he's well enough to come. I hope so. But he was the one that organized that very first integrated concert at the Armory, and I think that was 1959.
You should give him a call. He's still getting around. He's in his wheelchair, but he was at the anti-war rally
in Hopkins.
Uh-huh. So, right. See, he's getting around. You should give him a call and... Great to see him at Morgan that day. I want to ask you a question about that. I'm curious of two things that we've been talking about here. One, we just talked about you and civil rights, but where did the sense of the importance of racial equality and ending that in America come from in you? Did it come from you because with your parents growing up on the ranch and your mother and father? Or did it come from your work as a jazz musician? I mean, what was the root of your awareness of all that in America and why you made those stands?
Well, when you stop to think about Louis Armstrong, during all these racial problems, do you realize that Louis was probably the most loved man in the United States and in the world? So it makes it so strange that so many people that we admired so much, like Duke Ellington, were being treated in such a strange way.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, with the athletic response to the great athletes that were black in heroes, all my heroes, I wouldn't say all, but most of my heroes were black. And most of my friends' heroes were black, even if they had very little to do with jazz. They loved sports, and it just took a long time for this worship of a great athlete to start becoming the norm. And we all know how important it was that the black athletes were recognized and competed worldwide, and usually were in the top winners.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jackie Robinson, Jesse Owens, that whole group. But you're right that Louis Armstrong certainly was one of the most beloved figures internationally, not just in the States. And it's just amazing to think that segregation could sort of withstand, if you will, you know, the popularity of people like Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington.
Yeah, and I had many friends that were boxers that were loved by the public, and Joe Louis, and
mm-hmm. Sure,
I knew these guys, and I was proud to know them. And it just didn't make sense. They were national heroes. There's no getting around it.
My guest this hour that you hear, one of the voices you hear, is the great legend Dave Brubeck, who joins us by phone. He'll be here this weekend to play with the Baltimore Choral Arts Society at Morgan State University with their chorus as well, and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. And its director, Tom Hall, joins us once again in studio. Let's go to the phones here and let some of our listeners in this conversation at 410-662-8780. And let's go to Paul in Mount Washington. You're on the air.
Mr. Brubeck, I had the pleasure of seeing you in person at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival a number of years ago, and if my memory serves me right, your quartet consisted of not only you, but three of your sons. Do I have that right? And I'll take the answer off the air, and welcome to Baltimore.
Thank you. Yes, three of my sons were playing, and on my 85th birthday, four of my sons will be playing with me with the London Symphony, and that's December 6th this year, not very far off from now.
That's going to be a great day.
We're proud that your appearance with the Choral Arts Society and the Morgan Choir at Morgan on Sunday afternoon will be the sort of kickoff to your 85th birthday tour. We're very delighted that we'll be able to wish you an early happy birthday at that event.
The month-long celebration leading up to Dave Brubeck's 85th birthday is what this is. We're once again going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to hear some of Dave Brubeck's music going out. I think this is a live concert of Take 5 that was done. We're going to take you to break with that, and we'll be right back at 410-662-8780. And a special treat when we return, our next caller up happens to be Chet Wickwire. We'll be right back to Chet Wickwire and his old friend Dave Brubeck, and our mutual friend Tom Hall, and you all at 410-662-8780. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. This hour we're talking to the great Dave Brubeck, who comes to Baltimore this weekend to play at Morgan State University with their chorus. But, of course, this is all being generated by the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Their chorus and orchestra will be playing there. Tom Hall is with us this hour, who's their director, and we'll tell you at the end of the hour again how you can call for tickets to see this remarkable concert playing Dave Brubeck's orchestrations and choral works. Going back to the phones immediately and to talk with one of my personal heroes and living legends of our community, Chet Wickwire. And Chet Wickwire, good to have you on the air with us.
Well, hi, Mark. It's good to talk to you. By the way, the last time I was there was in March of 2001, and when I went home, I broke my hip, so I've been afraid to come back.
And I always feel like I'm somehow guilty about what happened to you falling down after you left my show. But how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
It's very interesting being out here with we're a lot of old people, but it's a good place to be, and it's good for both my wife and I. By the way, I'm going to be 92, my birthday in December.
December what?
Yeah, and in any case, no, we're both very alive, and I'm trying to work at various things, including I'm on the executive committee of the Faculty of Israeli-Palestinian Peace and a number of other things I'm working with and still trying to write some poetry, and I'm still above ground, and, you know, that's as good as it gets. By the way, you know, we brought Dave Brubeck with various others, including Maynard Ferguson and several others, in 1959 down to the 5th Regiment Armory, and we had a great concert. There were people both at Hopkins and at the Y who were afraid we're going to have a race riot, but, of course, that was really nonsense. We had a great time, and I think that the concerts in which Dave Brubeck participated and some of the others really helped the matter of desegregation. I don't have any question about it.
Indeed. Chet, it's so great to hear your voice, and, you know, it's good to have both you and Dave on the line here. You know, Dave is a young fellow. He's only 85.
So, I know.
You know, he's got a little bit of catching up to do, but it's just so great. And, you know, that concert really was a pivotal moment in the history of music in Baltimore, certainly in the history of the civil rights movement in general. So, you know, we owe you both big time for making that happen.
That's great. I want to come to that concert. It's on the weekend, isn't it?
It's on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at
Morgan State. I'm going to plan to be there.
We will get that taken care of when we're off the air. Yeah, great.
We'll call you. Chet, before you hang up, I'll get my producer, looks like Jessica's picking up the phone, to get your number so we can call you, make sure you get those tickets, and also we can come out and say hello to you.
You'll be able to hold on for and talk to him?
Yeah, and give my love to you and your wife.
And it's great to talk to you, Mark.
And to John and Ann Mitchell.
We appreciate all that you do for the city and the whole state, wherever.
You are the ones who've done it, but give John and Ann Mitchell my love, too, if you see them at Broadmead.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
So that was just a treat to have Chester Wickwire join us here. I thought you'd like to hear that, Dave.
Yeah.
See, he was your first producer in Baltimore, Dave. Now, you know, now I've taken on his job because he's doing other things.
So big shoes to fill, brother.
Very big shoes.
Let's go back to the phones. Our listeners are calling in to want to talk to Dave Brubeck, and we should allow them to do that. And let's go to Dave in Hamden.
Hi there.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for a great show, and hi, Mr. Brubeck. I'm a fellow musician myself, actually. I'm a former student of Charlie Byrd, a local...
Oh, yes.
...guitarist, yeah.
And I also studied classical guitar, obviously, in college. And I also been studying Indian music.
Yes.
For several years now. I went to India for the last 2 years, studied with a senior disciple of Ravi Shankar. And I was curious if any sort of influence, not particularly of Indian music, but of just Eastern music in general, might be in your music, or what experience you might have had with that.
Well, I was very influenced by Indian music and amazed at how complex it is. And my eldest son, studied Indian music, and he's been teaching in South Africa, and some of his students are from India. And he is very involved in Indian music and graduated from the university in musicology. And so the influence with my sons, and my son that's a drummer, Danny,
visits India, and usually about once a year. Last time he was there, he went into a drum store, and when he was at the counter to pay for what he bought, he pulled out his credit card, and the person behind him said, "Are you any relative of Dave?" And he said, "Well, he's my father." And he said, "Well, my father played with Dave when he was here in 1958, and my father's book has a picture of himself and Dave playing together." It goes on in my family, this acknowledgement of the greatness of Indian music.
That's great. Should we go back to the phones, Tom, unless you have a quick thought? We're going to go back to the phones here.
Phones is great.
We're talking this hour. Tom Hall is joining me this hour in studio. Of course, the director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society, who joins us as often as we can get him in the studio. And he's, again, once again, bringing Dave Brubeck to town. He'll be here this Sunday playing at Morgan State University with Dave, with Dave's orchestra and choral group, and with the Morgan State Choir, doing Dave Brubeck's work. Dave Brubeck's coming. His quartet is coming as well, am I right?
Of course, yep. Quartet. And I should also mention Andy Beanstock from WIPR will be joining me before the concert for what we call a choral conversation at 2:15. For about a half hour, we'll talk about Dave's music and his place in the history of jazz. So we'll have Andy with us as well. And
right.
The quartet and the orchestra and both choruses. It should be fun.
And let's go to Blima in Dundalk.
Yes, hello, hi.
Thank you, Blima,
for taking my call.
For
I just wanted to thank Mr. Brubeck for his contribution to music, and actually I'm a middle-aged woman, but I learned about you from my son, who is 26, so it's great that a young generation is listening to your music, and we just love it.
Oh, well, thank your son, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Beamer, for that call.
My pleasure. Take care.
Let me let the listeners really take over here and give their thoughts to Dave Brubeck at 410-662-8780, and Gary in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hey, hi.
Hi, Gary.
I really had to get on this one while I was driving.
Good,
I was
careful.
In the Air Force in Michigan in the 60s, where I saw Dave's original quartet at Wayne State. And then just recently, I think it was 2 years ago, I caught him here in the Meyerhoff when he played in Baltimore. So I've been following him, I guess, for 40 years. I still have the original vinyl of Time Out, and recently I bought the CD as well.
That's great.
Good.
I have them both as well.
So it's my pleasure. I'm really glad I got an opportunity to jump in here.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you for staying a loyal fan.
Well, I think my vinyl, my vinyl of that album dates from 1961. I still have it, too. I still have that.
I remember
my LP.
One of the times you were in Baltimore, we finished the concert, and Dave, you and I walked out into the lobby. There was a reception at that particular event. But before we got to the reception, a lady came up to us, and she was holding about six of your albums in the vinyl versions of it. And she said, "Mr. Brubeck, I just had to tell you that you got me through my divorce. Without these records, I never would have made it through my divorce, you know, 30 years ago." And you were so happy to hear that, and so was I. It was just sweet. But, you know, I mean, Dave Brubeck is the kind of artist that so many millions and millions of people have a deep, you know, spiritual connection to, because that music has helped them through tough times, and that music has helped them celebrate good times, and so it's a great gift.
Parvel and Belair, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say hello to Dave. Dave and I met over a sick cat many, many years ago at the Wilton Hospital for Animals. I don't remember if you remember that, Dave.
Oh, my. Oh, yes.
And, in fact, I was probably one of the first people that knew he had an interest in veterinary medicine way back when.
Yeah, that's what I was going to be, a veterinarian.
That's right.
And I studied pre-med my first year at college. And then the zoology teacher said, "Brubeck, next year, go across the lawn to the conservatory, because your mind is not in my laboratory. So I switched to music, but my dad was a fantastic rodeo roper. He was number one in California for many years, calf roping and steer roping. And he ran a huge 45,000-acre ranch that was owned by H.C. Howard, that owned Seabiscuit. And that's where I was raised, and I wanted to be like my father. And so that's, he said, well, you have to go to college. Your mother insists, but when you come back, you be a veterinarian, and then we'll be on the ranch together.
I love that. That's beautiful. I love that story.
I'm kind of happy that didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm glad you're a musician, too. Okay. Let's go back to the phones and hear our listeners' thoughts about Dave Brubeck and Arlene in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Just wanted to tell you how very much I admire you. I heard you in the mid-50s in a nightclub called Storyville on Cape Cod. I believe it was Chatham. I had never heard of you before, nor of Errol Garner. You played alternate nights at this wonderful little nightclub, and we came for about a week, alternate nights, to hear you, and I've loved you ever since. Do you remember that place?
I certainly do. And I remember playing with Errol Garner, and he was one of my favorite pianists of all time. And it was such a pleasure to work on the same concert night after night with him.
Thank you so much for that call, Arlene. We all have our memories where we first saw Dave Brubeck, I think, and that certainly is a good one. Let's go to Ralph and Haverty Grace. You're on the air. No, Ralph is gone. Let's go to Janet in Cockeysville.
Hi, I'm originally from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I have some fun memories of seeing Mr. Brubeck and his quartet doing a performance called, I believe, Mr. Brubeck, La Fiesta de la Posada?
Yes.
And you did that for several years, and it was always just, I just enjoyed going to that because it was a show that involved a lot of community folks, community choirs and children's choirs, and the kids just would get so excited to be able to sing with
We're going to do that with the London Symphony and the London Symphony Chorus.
Oh, neat.
In the London Symphony Children's Choir. So we'll be doing that December 17th in London.
Neat.
So we're still doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. How many years did you do that? You did it probably about 3 or 4?
Oh.
In Ann Arbor, I think?
I think so, yes.
It was missed once you didn't come back again. And we're hearing your music elsewhere at the holidays, but it was something that we always really enjoyed.
That's Dave's big Christmas piece. As a matter of fact, that's one of the few of your large choral works that we haven't done here in Baltimore, so that's still on our list. We'll get around to that eventually.
Let's try to get another call in here. We only have a few more minutes left, and let another listener come in and talk with Dave Brubeck and Roxanne in Towson. You're on the air. Hi, Rox. Pardon? Okay, let me ask this question. There was a question coming in about your collaboration with your wife. I think it's a nice way to kind of end this conversation is talk a bit about your lovely wife, Yola, and the work you and how you two collaborate together.
Well, this piece that this young lady was talking about, La Fiesta de la Posada, was really the lyrics and the book were written by my wife, Iola. And it goes back to both of us being raised in the country, in Northern California. And on the cattle ranch, there were many Mexican and Native American cowboys.
Uh-huh.
And I got to hear firsthand Mexican music, which in my youth, some of the most popular music in California was Mexican. And I had a big following in Mexico, and I did I think, 3 or 4 albums down there, and they just found another album that had been, I didn't even know about it, and they called it Buried Treasures. And if you want to find...
Just came out a couple years ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And on that, we use Mexican musicians with the Dave Brubeck Quartet. And without rehearsal, we just went on stage and played these Mexican tunes of my youth, and naturally the Mexicans knew them, so we didn't need a rehearsal.
Dave, I wish we had another hour. It's been just great to have you on the air with us again. It's always a pleasure to hear you. And let me just say that I won't be here this weekend, unfortunately, because I have to go out and do some interviews for this documentary we're doing, but I look forward to seeing you again soon, and next year have you on the show once again.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. I'll see you tomorrow, and everybody else will see you Sunday at the concert.
I'm getting up early and driving down.
You are. All right. You're a good pal. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Safe trip.
Bye.
Our beloved Dave Brubeck, thank you so much. Bye-bye, Dave. And by the way, call 410-523-7070 for tickets to Hummel Hall. Thank you so much.
Great to see you, Mark.
Always
thanks.
Good to see you, man.